I know what I did, and I liked it. Hell, I loved it.
Well, I got a simple question for you, Ryback. What happened? What happened to that guy? The guy who entered WWE last year and took it by storm with three simple words. What happened to that man who showed no fear? The man who commanded respect because he demanded respect. The man who stacked the world on his shoulders and said, feed me more.
You better be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
Really? I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it. And you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. Wrestling Talk Radio back on the air. Welcome to Smack Talk Radio Live, everyone. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting in the Smack Talk studios, and hey, let me tell you, it's hot. You know what that means? Tank tops for this guy, James McDonald. James, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, man, but this neon yellow tank top I'm wearing, it's kind of crotching up here on the man boobies, so I just gotta do the old Picard on it here.
At least you're concerned.
No, I'm doing good, buddy. I'm happy to be sitting in the Smack Talk studios on a beautiful evening here in Vancouver, ready to break down all the week's latest news, views, and opinions in the world of professional wrestling right here on the show by the fans, for the fans.
And it's very hot outside, so let's just admit it right off the top. The windows are open in the Smack Talk studios.
So if you hear a motorcycle going by in the background, there's your explanation.
Might make the show better.
And who knows? Yeah, it might be a good ambient background noise of us going back and forth, right?
www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you don't know it already, we are on Twitter at SRL Radio. And hey, look us up, Stitcher Radio.
That's
at Stitcher.com.
Right.
James, very interesting week for the WWE. Monday Night Raw coming from London, England.
That's right. Interesting crowd in London, I gotta say. I mean, you were going into this Raw with the expectation that maybe this crowd was gonna be a little bit like the New Jersey crowd, like that where you were at there, because it was heavily comprised of people from the UK and from Europe. It's a well-known fact. But
well, it's interesting. They were saying the New Jersey crowd was full of a lot of Europeans because Europeans come over for WrestleMania weekend.
And then stay for the Raw, right?
So yeah. The question was, would that translate back to Europe when they went to London? And would the crowd be just as good as it was in Jersey? Your thoughts?
Well, the crowd, it was a hot crowd, but I don't know, to me it felt kind of almost forced, like the Fandango chants and stuff like that. It felt almost forced, and they were doing it when the WWE was telling them to do it. And I mean, yeah, there's sure some interesting chants and stuff like that, but I don't know, it didn't have the same feel and same electricity as that New Jersey crowd just sitting at home watching
it.
It
felt forced to me.
And it wasn't a good Raw. I'm going to go on record right now and just say it was not a good Raw this week. If it wasn't for that Undertaker and Team Hell No match, against the Shield. I mean, it would have been one of the worst Raws in recent memory, to be honest.
Interesting. You're a little more negative than I am this week. That's a rare occasion.
I gotta be honest. It was not good this week.
Interesting. Well, we'll get into it in our Tale of Tape. Then we're going to come back to it a little later. But coming up on the show tonight, we're talking local wrestling, something we haven't done in a while. We're talking with All-Star Wrestling superstar Matt Ecstatic. We're going to talk about his last match in Cloverdale happening this weekend. And he's actually moving somewhere new. It's a very interesting story. We're going to talk to Matt Ecstatic a little bit later. But let's do what we do each and every week, or at least what we used to, James.
Used to do every week. Good.
Well, yeah, we're going to get
glad,
back
to I'm glad you corrected yourself, or else I would have.
Let's do what we do each and every week. Let's catch you up with the business of the business. The post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, the post-to-post report, James. Now, it's something we haven't done in a while, so I'm a little unsure of even how to go about this segment.
So what you're saying is we're not doing the usual thing?
Well, typically we would read and highlight over certain news items, and yes, it was good, but I figured tonight, let's try something a little different. Why don't we just pick two topics and just talk about them?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah?
Yep.
You can't even keep up with me, that's the problem.
I'm miles ahead of you, my friend.
Alright, why don't we talk about The Rock and Michael Bay? Now, if you haven't heard already, Michael Bay made some comments about The Rock, who was unable to make his Pain and Gain movie premiere because he had to undergo surgery
for the injuries.
Injury from WrestleMania 29.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Bay said that The Rock, in an interview with Entertainment Tonight, and actually we should probably play this interview, don't you think?
Yeah, we got a clip made up?
Yeah, let's listen to it here. Here's Michael Bay talking about The Rock
on Entertainment Tonight.
It's too bad, but I told him he's getting older and he needs to stop wrestling with 300-pound men.
So it was a WWE injury. That's what I was suspecting.
Yes, he tore some stomach muscles. And he powered through the Miami press junket, but he was in pain, and I think it just got worse. So.
Well, you tell him, or I'll tell him too, but you tell him we missed him too.
That's nice.
He's a good man.
You should show this video. Make sure he sees it.
Dwayne, well, yeah, you want to wish him good well wishes through the television? Since you haven't contacted him or anything, Michael?
You're making me feel bad. I've had a busy day. I'm trying to get Transformers ready.
I know you're a busy man, but I think Dwayne deserves flowers.
Well, but listen, he needs to grow up and just realize he's to the age where he needs to grow up and stop wrestling, you know? It's like for young teenagers.
I think he wants you to just be in all of his movies, right?
Yeah.
So no time for wrestling.
That's what Wahlberg says. Wahlberg says he's got to grow up.
Very interesting.
Yeah, this little clip here is caused a little bit of a furor online here. People lashing out against Michael Bay. Some pretty negative stuff I've seen posted online about him. But really, honestly, is this really as big a deal as people are making it out to be?
It's just an interesting scenario because here you have a million-dollar actor, The Rock. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised by the end of this year you find out that Rock is one of the highest-paid actors in Hollywood. The unfortunate truth is The Rock has a family history and a love for professional wrestling. And it's a physical,
it's a heritage,
possibly
it's a heritage
injurable
thing too, right?
Sport to take part in.
Oh, absolutely. And you got to remember, The Rock comes from a Samoan family, and they're very heavy on heritage. And I mean, professional wrestling is in the family blood.
And right? I admire him for that. I'm glad that he honors that history, because you know what, as a wrestling fan, we would all be very disappointed if he didn't honor that. It's a waste of talent. The Rock is a great talent in the WWE, and if he wasn't there doing that, it would be very disappointing for us. So we should all we should admire the fact that The Rock has honored his family heritage. However, on the other hand, you can't really fault a guy for wanting to go and make millions in Hollywood, right?
No, you can't. But I mean, honestly, I think people are just making a bigger deal out of this than really it's there. And I mean, Michael Bay's even on his official website, he's come out and he's clarified, saying that this was all just a joke and it was a rib.
Okay, but my question is here: should The Rock come back in the future
to wrestling,
knowing that he possibly could get injured? I mean, he's supposed to film Hercules in the next week or so here, and he just underwent surgery, putting possibly the filming in question in terms of scheduling. They may have to delay it a little down the road. You don't know for sure, but my question is if you're in The Rock's shoes, what do you do here?
Well, from a financial standpoint, obviously it's a bad decision to go back and continue wrestling, because obviously the potential to get injured is there, and it's a high potential, and you could be missing out on millions of dollars for maybe missing films or stuff like that. But that being said, on the other hand, you got to think about the fans and the people that made you into what you are, and it's the wrestling fans and the wrestling community who made Dwayne Johnson into the superstar that he is. I truly believe that anyways. And so I think it's a good idea to give back a little bit. So in that kind of sense, it's a good idea.
If you're Michael Bay in this situation and you want to sign The Rock, or any movie producer, and you want to sign The Rock to a movie down the road, how do you possibly escape this situation where The Rock, weeks before your movie filming is about to take place, The Rock gets injured? Like, how do you prevent that from happening down the road? Obviously, you can't, but is there wording that you would do differently in a contract?
I think the only way you can really get around that is just by scheduling your work dates, really.
If I was Hollywood, and this is just me as a producer talking, I would not stop The Rock from doing what he's doing, because the realistic truth is that by doing that, you're bringing in extra advertising revenue and different methods of advertising to your movie by having The Rock involved with the wrestling audience, which is obviously a huge audience.
Mm-hmm.
But you may be writing into your contract with The Rock that if you do get injured, you're going to take less money. Or if we have to delay the filming because you get injured due to wrestling, maybe I have
to... You have to take a penalty of some sort. Yeah, no, they could do something like that. I honestly think the best way to do it, just like I was just mentioning before, just give yourself enough of a window, if possible, between your work dates and your filming dates.
In The Rock's defense, you can get injured doing anything. You can get injured walking your dog.
Exactly.
So for them to single out wrestling, it's not fair, because anyone can get injured doing anything at any time.
There's a high potential for injury in wrestling, though.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same way an insurance company is going to look at it, obviously, right?
But there's benefits to both. There's benefits and disadvantages.
Oh, yes.
There's advantages and disadvantages to doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. I think it's a good story.
I have a feeling we won't see The Rock wrestle for a while now.
I agree.
Probably a good 5 years.
I don't see him at next year's WrestleMania.
No, definitely not.
Okay, let's move on, James. Second topic of the night for Post to Post. And that is that the WWE has opened up a new performance center, as they've called it.
Yeah, this is a really interesting little story here.
This is a new training ground for NXT stars, people that have signed developmental deals with the WWE. Just, this is going to be a all-out ultimate gym for anyone involved with the WWE to take part in. How do you feel about that?
I think it's kind of cool. It's something radical. It's something new. It's always good to have a place for these new up and coming talents to go, kind of guys like Matt Ecstatic, who we're going to talk to later, somewhere for them to go and really get a good look, get their talent looked at really well. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, it's a very interesting story. If you guys want to find out more about it, you can go to OrlandoSentinel.com. They've got a whole big story about it there, and they've got actually some conceptual images there. They've got 20 images there on their website, but if you go down to the last five, they've got some neat. Like this one picture I'm looking at, it's like they got a whole bunch of rings in this one room, like six mm-hmm. rings and then one in the center. Like
seven, I think.
Seven rings, that's right.
So it's going to be a training facility.
A huge training facility.
Where you're going to have a state-of-the-art gym, you're going to have seven wrestling rings for them to wrestle in and train in. Okay, let me ask you, is this a good thing for the wrestling industry?
I think so.
Let me follow that up with this theory. Back in the day, in the 80s, or 70s, 80s, 90s, even early 2000s, the independent system was the official training ground to get to the WWE.
Right.
With the opening of this performance center, does the landscape change? Does it
become... Oh, I didn't know that. Is this like where... Can people who are totally green pay a fee and come in and learn?
No. WWE-exclusive gym. You have to be involved with the WWE in some sort of way.
So you basically have to have had... Like, you'd have to have basic training, essentially.
You have to have some sort of agreement or know somebody at the WWE to get in, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, but say, could, like, me, who's never wrestled a professional match, pay, say, like, a fee and go in there and train?
Maybe if they had an open tryout day.
Something like that, you know?
But that's not the That's not the case here.
Oh,
my question is, though,
so what becomes the, people come in and
what becomes the official training ground here? Is it the independent scene, or is it now the WWE Performance Center?
No, it's still the independent scene, definitely.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Well, guys like you and me can walk in off the street and learn the chops in the independence scene as long as we've got a good teacher and stuff.
But does it matter if you could be part of the independent scene all you want, but if you're not involved with the WWE Performance Center, are you still getting looked at the same?
Yeah, but Corey, what I'm trying to get at here is if you don't have the basic skills learned, you know, from the independent scene, from somewhere in the independent scene.
So we've added an official middleman, is what you're saying now. We've gone from, instead of indie to WWE, we've now gone indie.
Well, that was my question. That was my question. Could somebody who's totally green come into this new performance center and just...
As far as I'm aware, no.
And, you know, pay a fee and you know, learn how to hit the ropes and learn how to bump and, you know, learn how to lock up, all the basic stuff.
Well, what
that
you would
you
prefer? It's in Orlando, so it's not like anyone can just go to
it's
Orlando.
Not... Well, I mean... Again, this is it's if it's going that route, then it's kind of gearing it more towards the wealthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where we were talking a little bit before on our show about the two different kinds of experiences now, depending on whether you have.
I'm a little weary of this decision. I'm a little weary of this decision.
Okay, why?
It's just, first of all, I found they hid it from investors. Did anyone know that this performance center was coming out? No one. It just hit everyone by surprise. It's supposed to create 100 jobs within the WWE company.
Hmm. Oh, I can't speak for the investors.
No, I know, neither can I. I just thought that was an interesting dilemma. And second of all, I just wonder what kind of impact it has on the entire developmental system.
Right.
It could be a major landscaping change. And I would think it means less emphasis on the independent scene and more on this getting into the development center. And I don't know if that's a good thing for wrestling.
I don't know.
That's my
debate
here.
I don't think so. I still think it's going to be you gotta you know, pay your dues and take your chops and take your bumps in the independent scene. And if you're good enough and you're dedicated enough, guys like Maddox Stack, again, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they'll get looked at. They'll get called up to this performance center and that's,
okay.
you know, maybe they'll learn to wrestle the WWE style, as they call it.
It was just a thought.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
it's probably still going to be the independent scene where guys, you know,
yeah.
learn their basics, right?
Fair enough. All right.
Post-to-post report. That was a good one.
Oh, you liked it, did you?
That wasn't bad.
Oh.
That wasn't bad.
Why don't you get your voice higher?
That's my excited voice.
All right. Why don't we talk Monday Night Raw? We're going to talk local wrestling later, but let's do what we do best, James, and that's talk about what happened on Monday in our Tale of the Tape. Said earlier, James, Monday Night Raw and I came from London, England, and it's worth mentioning here that we are building towards the next pay-per-view, and that would be Extreme Rules, and that happens May 19th, 2013 from the Scotts Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Another week gone by, James, and a very interesting crowd this week because a lot of people were expecting, well, a lot from this crowd in Monday Night Raw. What did you think? I mean, we talked about it off the top of the show, but you just didn't think they were as hot as New Jersey?
No, like I said off the top of the show, it felt kind of forced. I think they were really... It felt like they were trying too hard, you know what I mean? Hmm. They were trying too hard to be that New Jersey crowd.
Totally agree.
And you know what I think the big difference was, is you didn't have that Dolph Ziggler moment.
Yes.
That moment where Dolph Ziggler came out and won that World Heavyweight Championship off of Del Rio. It was just, it was huge. And that was really what changed the crowd in New Jersey and what really made it into the wild, fun time that it was. And you really didn't have that at this week's Raw in London. And like I said, it was a very blah Raw. Not much really happened. And I mean, if you didn't have that Undertaker six-man match, you know, it would have been a real garbage Raw.
One thing I did like was how they didn't force fandangoing down our throats. The crowd caught on their own.
Well, it, to
that's
me,
the way you do it, though.
The way I caught it, the way I saw it was, I don't know, they kind of did it when the WWE was telling them to do. That's what it felt like to me, but I could be wrong.
Ah, they didn't really mention the Fandangoing thing, and they didn't. They let it happen on its own. They kind of teased Fandango showing up earlier in Monday Night Raw. They played his entrance music there,
yeah.
And the crowd kind of took on to its own there. It was like the perfect little setup. It's like, we want you to Fandango,
well,
so
yeah,
here's his
exactly.
music.
That's the thing, right?
Is that's how you do it.
They're getting the crowd to do what they want, and that was
I'll give them that.
And that was what. That's the big thing that I guess. You know what? I think that's the big thing that was different between this crowd and the crowd in New Jersey. Is that the crowd in New Jersey was just doing whatever the hell they wanted.
Yeah.
And this one was really kind of following cues at points, you know?
Yeah,
and,
no, I, not a huge... It was not the same,
no,
that's for sure.
I don't think it was the same at all.
Okay, but as crowd aside, how did we feel about Monday Night Raw?
Well, not a lot really happened, to be honest. I mean, yeah, they're really pushing this Ryback-John Cena program. They're really trying to push Ryback as a heel.
And is it working for you?
Honestly, I've not really.
No?
No, it's not working. To me, Ryback has a serious credibility issue.
Really?
I mean, he's on a 6 pay-per-view losing streak.
And
to me, I don't really feel like he deserves this title shot, number 2.
And please mention the exact reason as to what I'm going to say here.
What's that?
He lost to Mark Henry at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, that's what I just said. A 6 pay-per-view losing streak. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, it just
so
doesn't...
So why is he getting a title shot? And where has Mark Henry been?
You know, well, he's languishing in this feud with Sheamus and Randy Orton along with the Big Show. I think they're going to make Mark Henry and Big Show a tag team from the looks of it, which I would be interested in.
It's
but...
just weak, though. I...
But digressing, back to Ryback. Yeah, I'm not really feeling this heel turn that they're shoving down our throats. Like I said, he's just... I don't know, he's got a serious credibility issue for me. I'm feeling he's... Do you think he's peaked in his popularity, maybe?
Maybe. Here's my take on Ryback, and we are a week after now. So take my thoughts take my opinions of what I had said last week on the show. I'm now a week later here. Mm-hmm. Here is my new opinion on the Ryback thing. You are trying to turn Ryback heel at a time when John Cena is the champion. And I don't think it's any secret that John Cena isn't really... what the fans or who the fans want to be champion. The fans are kind of wanting to boo John Cena right now. And yes, there's always going to be the people that are cheering him. And yes, there's always going to be the people that aren't cheering him. But I find right now, if you hear the audience on Monday Night Raw, it's more boos than cheers.
Yeah, no, I will agree with you there. He's getting a more of a negative reaction than he is a positive one at this point. But
okay.
I mean, WWE just, they want to truck on forward with him as their top babyface.
So if the fans aren't really sold on cheering John Cena, and then you add in the guy that's supposed to go up against John Cena, and that's Ryback, and then try to convince the fans to boo the guy who they want to see beat John Cena.
Do you lose interest in this program because you have a sort of double negative here? You don't want to cheer John Cena, but on the other hand... Now you don't really want to get behind Ryback because
yes.
you don't feel like he deserves it.
That's the problem with this program to me.
Exactly. I think we just hit it right on the head there.
And I think you're trying to turn Ryback heel against the wrong guy.
I think, but you know what? I can kind of see why they're doing it because heel-wise, they're not very strong right now. I mean, let's face it. They're gasping for star power on their shows right now. I mean, this week's episode of Raw just made it painfully evident. I mean, that's the reason I think The Undertaker is working, and he works SmackDown as well, is because they're so low on guys right now. I mean, you got CM Punk out. You got Brock Lesnar, but he's tied up with Triple H now, which in something that we've already seen already.
No
Rock now anymore.
But you're telling me you can't take these guys and put them with programs you can't put them in different programs with different people? You have to naturally go to Ryback versus John Cena because we're low on stars?
Well, really, who else are you going to put them up against?
Why can't you do Mark Henry versus John Cena? I mean, to me, that was, when I saw that on Monday, the first thing after WrestleMania was Mark Henry coming out. You know, and John Cena.
Well, that would have made, you know what? Yeah, that would have made sense. And I would have been fine with that. It would have made perfect logical sense. You beat Ryback the night before. I would say you're entitled to a title shot.
I'm surprised no one's even asked that question here.
But yeah, all of a sudden, it's just, I mean, there's no Mark Henry on Raw this week. No interaction whatsoever. They just.
So these are the issues I have with this main program. This is really it. Like, I think we bring up good points here. It's hard to argue against this.
No, I totally agree with you. But I think really the root cause for it all is The Rock getting injured and not being able to show up. And that really kind of forced the creative side to, as we've said before, scramble and put what they could together. I honestly think this Ryback-John Cena confrontation was going to happen eventually sometime down the road.
Okay.
I think the heel turn for Ryback was probably originally planned to be a little bit more slow, a little bit more gradual, but because they had to scramble, maybe they kind of accelerated things, and now they're pushing this Ryback rules, beanie wearing kind of.
And that's the other thing. He comes out with a new slogan when he's a heel. No one's buying into that. It's weird. It's a weird
it just
turn for me.
It feels
weird heel turn for me. I'm not saying I like it. I don't like it.
And you know, WWE, they've had some problems with their, with their turns in recent memory here. I mean, the Del Rio one, that really wasn't very convincing. You had the Miz turn, that really wasn't convincing.
No, I agree with you. It's you know, poor timing, I think. I don't know. Maybe I can't. You know what? You bring up a good point.
I think another part of it is when you have a guy who's heel for so long and then you all of a sudden switch him over in that quick kind of fashion, it's people aren't buying it because they're used to that guy being heel for so long, right? When you've excuse me. When you've got somebody who's
both James and I are sick tonight. Let me just point that out.
Excuse me.
We haven't even talked about that on the show.
I had a huge frog in my throat. But as I was, my point was, is when you've got somebody who's established, like, for example, you take Dolph Ziggler right now. He's been heel his whole career, right? Well, if you all of a sudden, next week on Raw, you turned him babyface, and then you start promoting him as a babyface week after week after that, people aren't going to... It's going to seem weird and people aren't going to buy it because he's so established as a heel. You got to make these things gradual and you have to have a decent creative plot and logical reason that, you know, these guys would turn so fast. I mean, one thing I will give creative for, the logic behind Ryback's turn here has been sound. It has been solid. I mean,
well, they gave a good explanation.
They did give a good explanation. I do buy the reason why he's turned heel. It's just... You know, I don't know. I'm just not buying it. Again, it goes back to the credibility issue.
Maybe. And to me, I think another portion is you're turning him against a guy that a lot of people don't want to cheer for.
Yeah. Again, yeah. You got to go. On one hand, you got a guy you don't want to cheer for. On the other hand, you got a guy that you don't feel deserves it. So, yeah, the program kind of faltering in that.
Let me wrap up Ryback Cena with this question.
Sure.
We're a week later. Who do you think takes it at Extreme Rules?
That's an interesting question. Do you damage Ryback's credibility by giving him another loss? Or do you damage the prestige of the new WWE title by taking it off of Cena so soon? Honestly, I could see Ryback winning and putting the title and shotgunning the title onto Ryback because typically WWE likes to have the babyface in the chasing role. You know, you like to have the monster heel.
Last week, you just told me it was the year of John Cena and we should all get used to Cena being the champion.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm kind of changing my mind now that I'm thinking about it. There's your excited voice. But no, you know what? Typically, that's the way WWE's always gone. They've always liked to have the monster heel as the champion, and you have the superhero babyface always chasing, so you can have that big moment when he takes the title. But
at some point, though, John Cena's got to be on top. I'm leaning towards more the idea that this is John Cena's time. So, to me...
You know what, you're probably right.
To me, Cena's more likely to walk out of Extreme Rules as champion. However, I have a hard time seeing them handing Ryback another pay-per-view loss.
Well, it'll be 7 in a row, and... I mean, geez, he's already taken ridiculous damage to his character. I mean, last year, he used to be this invulnerable monster, smashing jobbers 2-3 at a time.
Okay, you want my official prediction as of right now?
Sure.
I think Ryback walks out of Extreme Rules as champion.
You think it's Ryback, not John Cena?
Yep.
Okay.
For just that reason, you can't hand him another pay-per-view loss. If they're going to promote someone else in the company right now because they are short on stars, a good idea would be to hand the belt over to Ryback and let him run with it for a while. Proving that he is up there. He is one of the best.
Interesting. It'd be a debate whether he deserves it or not, but...
Would it really affect John Cena if he lost it to Ryback?
I don't think it would affect John Cena. No, not a lot you could do to John Cena is really going to affect him at this point.
And think about it. They're going to add another win to his belt.
But
belt I think, count now, down the road.
I think that's going to make that... That's to me, that's going to lose prestige to that title, but...
I agree with you.
You know, Who knows?
I don't like that idea of losing or changing hands three times.
It's interesting. No, it's interesting. On one hand, you're going to do damage to a guy's character. On the other hand, you're going to do damage to the prestige of the belt. So.
Is it interesting enough to buy the pay-per-view?
Not at this point.
I don't know, man. You and I just sat there and talked about it for a good 20 minutes. You got to think that maybe there was some interest peaked in the fans.
Am I interested enough in this match, though? Do I think the work rate's going to be good enough? I don't know.
I know. I agree. I'm not excited about what I'm watching.
Well, we'll break it down more next week, of course. Let's move on.
All right. Let's talk about the guys that we heard off at the top of the Tale of the Tape intro there. We heard The Shield picking up the victory against Daniel Bryan, Kane, and The Undertaker. A very interesting scenario because it's the first time Undertaker has wrestled on Monday Night Raw in a while.
3 years.
And you're going up against the undefeated Shield.
Yeah, it was...
So, you're thinking to yourself, before Monday Night Raw, is this match even going to happen?
Exactly. That was the big question on a lot of people's minds, was were they going to do some kind of schmoz where the Undertaker gets taken out before the match, and then it's just a two-on-three handicap match. But they did it... They teased it, but they kind of reversed it. They had Team Hell No be the ones, you know, attacked in the back, and then it was just Undertaker. I liked how they did that. But how about The Shield? I mean, is there anybody who is stronger in the WWE right now than The Shield?
No, they've got all the momentum in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, I gotta give kudos to the creative team for keeping these guys as strong as they are. And I mean, let's face it, that was a huge win on Monday Night Raw.
And it continues their streak. It also begs the question, who will be the guy or who will be the men to take these guys down? Will it be an internal breakup between them? Will the three of them start to argue amongst themselves and that will be the breakup?
I don't think so. Where's
the turning point here for the Shield?
I don't think we're going to see any kind of internal breakup. This team is just too cohesive a unit.
How do you book these guys down the road?
What do you mean, how do I book them down the road?
These guys are strong right now. They've got all the momentum in the world. At some point, something has to change. How do you see that going when it actually happens?
Well, I think we're going to see more people added to the Shield before we see any kind of internal strife or a breakup or anything like that.
Interesting.
As far as people being added to it goes, I think it's going to be somebody that they call up from NXT. I don't think it's going to be anybody that you see on the current roster right now. It's going to be some. That's just what I think. As far as how I would book them down the road, I would keep them a strong group like they are right now. I'd maybe give them a shot at the tag titles against Team Hell No. Give them the tag titles so they at least have some belts. And then maybe as they gain more members down the road, you have some of the original guys break off into singles competition. Maybe go after like the IC belt or the United States title or something like that.
How long of a time frame are you talking all this happens within?
Oh, probably, you know, like a calendar year.
All within a year?
Yeah. No, I'm talking like in a year. I mean, like...
I have a hard time believing you can keep feeding 3-on-3 matches for the next while. I feel like we're 3-on-3
now. No, you're gonna see singles matches. They've already had guys that are out of the Shield that have wrestled singles matches.
Yeah.
Like on SmackDown, you're going to see Dean Ambrose wrestling one-on-one against The Undertaker. So
what happens here? Do they remain undefeated for the remainder of the year? Do they keep going as strong as they are?
I think you're going to probably see them go undefeated for quite a while, maybe even all the way to like a big event like SummerSlam or something like that. Maybe that'll be the big moment at SummerSlam is you finally see The Shield get defeated or something like that.
But I think
they're going to be a strong group moving forward for the time being. You're going to see more guys come, make the group bigger, and eventually, I think they'll break off and go for singles gold.
Interesting.
But still remaining a cohesive group, you know what I mean? Kind of like the NWO did, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You think more members added?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to see it get bigger before it gets smaller, that's for sure.
You have any guesses as to who it might be?
Well, if I was going to throw one name in, I'd say maybe Cassius Ohno from NXT. He'd be perfect fourth member of the Shield. And he's ripe.
Not an established star?
And he's ripe for being called up. No. You want to keep a group like the Shield for guys who you have faith in, that you think are going to go far, and you want to develop and really book well, right? Because that's the one thing that they're doing right with the Shield that I think they're doing wrong with a lot of other talent that they have on the roster, like Cesaro, for example. They should be booking Cesaro really strong, but they're not. He's going out there and he's losing week after week. I think I don't agree with that personally, but I like how they're keeping the Shield strong and booking them strong moving forward.
All right. That's pretty much good for the Shield, I think.
Do you think this match on Raw sets up a tag team title match at Extreme Rules?
I'm wondering if we see a rematch at Extreme Rules 3-on-3.
3-on-3?
Could it be worth a rematch? Is that something that interests you or no?
I think it'd probably be more likely we see a 2-on-3 handicap match, but who knows? You could be right. Yeah. It all depends on how much The Undertaker's willing to work. I mean, he worked Raw and SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
But is that going to be it?
Interesting questions right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go moving forward.
So, Extreme Rules is kind of selling itself just because it's got a lot of questions surrounding it.
At this point, I'd say.
That's what I'm going with here.
Yeah, at this point.
Let's talk about Triple H, Brock Lesnar. The steel cage match was announced last week on Raw. This week we get Triple H pedigreeing Paul Heyman.
It was predictable as punch.
What did you think about that?
Predictable. I'm not interested, man. Honestly, no? There's just something about Triple H that just...
Weird because I always am into Triple H programs, but this one I'm not into. And yeah. I want to say I am, but I'm not.
I don't know. I've been... I'm not going to sit here and slag Triple H or say anything bad about him, but it feels like he really inserts himself into things. You know what I mean? Like hot angles or inserts himself into matches with guys. It
makes me wonder what they're doing here. To me, it's obvious, but are we actually going to be that obvious at Extreme Rules? Are we actually going to have Brock Lesnar go over Triple H, make him look strong moving forward? And that's, Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's just, I'm not...
No, I honestly...
You don't need to show me that if that's what you want to do.
I will be very, very shocked if Triple H wins this steel cage match.
Extremals. Of course.
I will be super shocked.
And but I you think know what? Everyone I, is.
But on the other hand, I could see it happening.
But see, when everyone is shocked that Triple H wins when he just won at WrestleMania, there's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, realistically, we all should be thinking that Triple H will win here because he's already beaten Brock at WrestleMania. But no one thinks he'll win.
But that's not how it works, Corey.
Yeah, but it's weird to me. Does that make sense?
I think if
that's
they
all I'm really going
to
say.
No, I know what you mean. To close it off, I'm just going to say it's, you know, you don't... Brock Lesnar losing this match would do irreversible damage to...
Yeah.
To his character and his momentum, I think. So I really can't see Triple H winning this one.
What about Dolph Ziggler? Very interesting dilemma we have on our hands here. Ziggler cashing in Money in the Bank, winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Everyone is down for this guy to finally continue his reign, his time on top. And the next week he comes out and loses. And then this week, it's...
comes out and wrestles Chris Jericho, and it was a very good match. I will give it
that.
It
was a good match.
A long match.
I'm just trying to figure out what's the plan for Ziggler here.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting that they didn't have no Del Rio or no Swagger on Monday Night Raw to further that program.
So is that done and over with?
No. That's still the match heading into Extreme Rules. Is a triple threat between those guys. But, like, yeah, I mean, they had no progression whatsoever on Raw, so it was like... You know, it was like, what's the point of that match between him and Chris Jericho? Well, there was the stipulation that if Jericho won, that he would be inserted into the World Heavyweight title match, but...
Getting back to Ziggler, though, is the momentum still there for Dolph Ziggler? Are we as interested?
I think so. Yeah. I'm still interested with Ziggler being the champion.
What if they take the title off him at Extreme Rules?
I think that'd be a big mistake. I think that would really hurt Ziggler because...
Could they do that?
They could, but I don't think they're going to because, personally, I think that would just bury the guy irreversibly,
I know.
You build up this anticipation for him cashing in his briefcase, and you finally give us this huge moment, and then you take the belt off him the very next month. That's just terrible creative, in my opinion.
Very interesting.
So.
Well... I think that'll wrap it up for another week.
As far as Raw went, there was not a lot to talk about.
Very interesting.
You had throwaway matches. You had that Brodus Clay. You had Brodus Clay, Damian Sandow match. Yeah. And you had Cody Rhodes and Tensai. I mean, there's no point to those matches.
A lot of DVR moments. A lot of fast forwarding.
The Divas Battle Royal. I fast forwarded through that because I knew right away it was going to be AJ.
I hate how it's just so obvious
AJ's
going to become.
I knew right away
it was
going to be AJ Lee.
I hate how obvious that match
Super
was.
Super obvious.
Don't like that.
Oh, obviously AJ's going to get the belt so her and Ziggler can
have the titles
beside each other. Just for the cool looking visual.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw next week. We're going to come back to a segment here tonight, James. That's something we haven't done for a while. And that is the local wrestling scene. Talking about the Pacific Northwest. Something you and I have ignored. Hey, well, we got a huge interview lined up. Let's just jump right into it. What do you think?
That sounds good to me.
All right, the local wrestling scene. Here we go.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
Just let it breathe, James. Just let it breathe. That wonderful local wrestling scene music.
It's been a while, my friend.
It's been too long. We have not talked about local wrestling in what seems like forever, and that's because we were on the road to WrestleMania, let's face it.
That'll be our defense, I guess.
A lot to talk about when it comes time to WrestleMania, and you do have to put certain segments on the back burner, unfortunately...
It does kind of consume things, doesn't it?
Well, it's an unfortunate circumstance that we had to exclude the local wrestling scene for the last little bit, but we're back, and we're right back where we were before. The local wrestling scene, the best segment in all of Smack Talk Radio Live. And a huge night tonight, James, because...
Big night.
We're lucky enough to talk to a guy who is part of the local wrestling scene in Vancouver. And let's face it, I think one day down the road, like the Bollywood boys, this man is a player in the grand scheme of things. What do you think?
I gotta agree with you there. The guy that we're about to talk to, big up-and-coming talent. And he's moving on to bigger and better things, and we're gonna talk to him a little bit about that tonight. As well as his experience at the Cauliflower Alley Club down in Las Vegas here.
Interesting. Now let's also recap here. There are two big shows coming to Vancouver this weekend.
That's right.
One with ASW, All-Star Wrestling, and one with ECCW, Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. One's on Friday, one's on Saturday. ASW happens Friday, and that's where Maddox Static will be wrestling. And what's worth mentioning here is that Maddox Static is the guest tonight on our show.
That's right.
Maddox Static, are you there, and how you doing, my friend?
All I have to say is indie wrestling, and how are you guys doing?
Very well done, and I'm doing well. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing excellent, as always, like I said off the top of the show.
Now, Matt, this is a long time in the making, because we have wanted to get you on the show for a long time. But tonight, it seems appropriate to bring you on the show specifically because there is some big news in the career of Maddox Static, and I'm going to let you break that news a little later, but let's first talk about you. Maddox Static, growing up in Vancouver, you're a local wrestler for ASW. You have a big show. We'll get to that. But for those who have not heard of Maddox Static before, how do you describe yourself to the fans?
Describe myself to the fans. I have to be the loving, caring superhero.
Interesting.
A superhero.
You know, I'm the local Spider-Man. I'm your Superman. I'm your Batman. And I defeat guys like the Joker, Iceman.
That sounds like the ultimate babyface to me. Is there an ounce of...
The ultimate baby...
Is there an ounce of terribleness in your body in any way?
Does he have a utility belt?
That's a good question.
Do I have a utility belt? The only utility belt is my fist.
Very well done.
Good answer.
And my
Matt, let's talk to you about your career and where you've come from, and you know, how long have you been in this game? Where did you start, and really, what made you get into professional wrestling?
What made me get into professional wrestling was just watching it on TV. How it starts with everybody. You know, I never had a father or grandfather that was in wrestling, so. You know, I'm the first in my family, and once I saw it on TV, I was hooked. There was no going back. That's what I wanted to do.
And who were some of your inspirations watching on TV?
My inspirations were the Shawn Michaels, the Chris Jericho, the Hardy Boys, Triple H, obviously, The Rock and Stone Cold are the big ones. And then, obviously, it has to be Hulk Hogan, because he's probably everybody's starting favorite wrestler in the world.
That's what I like to hear.
How do you sum up wrestling, Matt? You know, with James and I mean, as much as we rag on the product, we both equally love the product just as much as we hate it. And for me, it's like it's ingrained in my body. It's something that I'm watching every single Monday, regardless of how bad or how good the show is. Now, a lot of people could be considered the casual fan. I put you higher, way higher than the casual fan. You are an extreme fan of wrestling, I would assume. How do you sum up or how do you describe professional wrestling to friends and family who may not really understand what it's all about?
That's a hard one because everybody has their own opinion on professional wrestling. You know, some people call it fake, some people call it a drama, some people call it stupid, but to me it's an art, you know, and it takes a lot of knowledge and practice to get to perfect that art. So that's really what it is.
What is it that attracts you to the action? What attracts you to being an actual wrestler? I mean, you could be a fan like James and I are, or you can be involved in the game. What is it that actually brought you inside those ropes of the wrestling ring?
I think, you know, everybody has a dream and, you know, someone has a dream to be a fireman or a police officer, but I wanted to exceed my dreams instead of just being a fan. I wanted to actually step inside the ring and get the feel of it. And once I actually had that feeling of stepping in the ring, that's besides of knowing what I wanted to do as a child, as in be a professional wrestler. Once I stepped foot in the ring, that's where it all started.
You are rather young, so you are relatively new to the game, but you've had the fortunate experience of rising up through the ranks of the Pacific Northwest, Vancouver specifically. Who are some of the guys that have helped you get into this whole thing and just some of the guys that have helped you get started? And even a longer-winded question would be, you know, like, what have these guys shown you along the way? What have you learned from them?
You know, as you all may know, I trained under Michelle Starr and Disco Fury. Those are the two guys who broke me in. Those are the guys who showed me the ropes. Those are the guys who, you know, gave me the big bumps, bruises, sometimes bloody nose, you know. They're the guys who really start me in the business. And then you learn from who you wrestle. Like, I've wrestled Vance Nevada, Richie Destiny, the Breakers, I've wrestled them. I had the opportunity to wrestle future legend Kyle Sebastian. And that was a great experience. You know, you learn from wrestling different guys. You learn, okay, this is wrong what I'm doing. Let's correct it, and then let's make myself better. So that's really how I can explain that.
Is there a golden rule that you live by or that you've learned about that you live by when being involved with professional wrestling? Is there one specific not goal, but is there one specific creed that you operate under when you are involved with this game?
It would have to be, for me, it would have to be respect. You know, I've been taught by Michelle Starr, Disco Fury, Vance Nevada, that respect is a huge thing in this game. Because if you have no respect, then you're not going to go anywhere. If you have respect for everybody, no matter if they shit on you, I'm allowed to swear on this, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So if they treat you bad, respect them anyway. You know, respect is a huge thing. If you have respect, then your chances of going further are severely increased.
Now, here's an interesting question for you, and answer it the best way you can. But I would think, in growing up in Vancouver, a lot of people have decided to go the ECCW route. Let's be involved with ECCW. Let's train under Scotty Mack, or let's train under someone specifically under that umbrella, and let's go that route. Because let's face it, a man of your agility, a man of your age, I mean, you are quite young, and the ECCW is quite young. What made you decide to go under the ASW umbrella as opposed to the ECCW umbrella? Because I definitely credit you for doing that, but it's not always so clear to others. So I'm interested to know, why did you decide to go that route?
At the time when I was looking for a school, you know, ECCW, you know, I messaged them and they said, okay, well, here's our rules and regulations. You need to be this age and you have to have this amount. And when it came to that and I had, you know, I was became of age and I had all the money, the school closed down. And then fortunately ASW opened up. So I contacted Michelle Starr and he's like, hey, come on down. And that's how All Star Wrestling became my home.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think you're probably definitely dealing with the correct individuals if you want to make it really far here. And an example of that, Matt, is something that you did this past week or a week ago, and that is that you went to Las Vegas, the Cauliflower Alley Club. As someone, I mean, I'm not involved with the wrestling industry as to what you are, but I do know this. The Cauliflower Alley Club is definitely an event that you want to go to if you are a player in this industry. It's like the plumbers having a plumbing convention at the Vancouver Convention Center, except in professional wrestling, this is the yearly annual convention that they have in Las Vegas.
Like a get-together of who's who, almost.
And in my opinion, it's the smartest thing you can do for an aspiring up-and-coming professional wrestler. This is not your first year going to the Cauliflower Alley Club, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. This was my third year.
Third year.
Wow.
Now you've been 3 years. That's big.
He must be a regular around there. They probably know him by, you know, just by name by now.
What's that experience like for you? I mean, you're a week away. You're a week old after coming back from that. How sum up that Cauliflower Alley Club experience, Matt?
The only thing, it's there's no word for it. Like, you go in as a professional wrestler, but then once you're there, you're a kid because you're seeing all these guys that you know you admire and you look up to, such as like Jake the Snake Roberts and Diamond Dallas Page and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and you see JR and you know all these legends. Mm-hmm. And so you feel intimidated, but you're a kid again.
Have any of these legends seen you in the ring? Have any of them seen tapes of you, or do they know who you are?
I had the honor to actually wrestle in front of Jake the Snake Roberts in Las Vegas.
Really? Explain that. Tell us that story. I haven't heard that story yet.
It's pretty big.
I didn't even know it was happening until, you know, the match was over and I looked to my left and there's Jake the Snake Roberts watching.
So you were wrestling in Vegas during Cauliflower Alley Club week?
Yes.
For what promotion, if you don't mind me asking?
Vendetta Pro.
Really? Well, there you go. That's another big name to be associated with. And you would have to argue that that's all a result of going to Cauliflower Alley Club. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Huh. Amazing. So did Jake have any words for you after the show was over?
No, he was, Jake was, he's talking to his old buddies and, you know, I didn't want to interrupt him, but, he looked like he was having a good time.
I saw a photo on Facebook of you and Jim Ross. What was that interaction like?
Jim Ross is literally the man for talent relations. So, in a way, it is really intimidating, but it was an honor just to, you know, snap a picture with him and get to talk to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what were some of the seminars that they were giving at Cauliflower Alley Club this year? Like, what were some of the things they were talking about?
There was great seminars this year. They were talking about high spots and the road as when you first start out, and there was a seminar for refereeing from Steve Hooper, who actually used to ref for All-Star Wrestling back in the day in Vancouver.
That's cool.
And that was really informatic, so I loved that one.
And who were some of the speakers?
Steve Hooper was the one for the referee seminar. Ron Hutchison was that was a great seminar. It was...
He's someone important to know.
The format of wrestling, so that was great.
When you meet these guys, what kind of advice are they giving you? Are they telling you just keep exactly doing what you're doing? Are they telling you to change up certain things, or is it just very general conversation?
They're really straight up with you. Like, this is what you have to do. This is what you're going to have to concentrate on. You're always going to have this. You know, your diet, you're working out, you have to go to the gym. And you always have to keep training. That's the main thing. You're always training and you're always learning.
So how dedicated are you to this right now? Like, give me an example of what your week looks like.
I think I'm one of the dedicated ones. I'm in the gym 4 to 5 times a week. You know, I eat healthy. I have a cheat day once in a while, but, you know, everybody has that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to train as much as possible. I try to keep up with, promoting the shows. Going, setting up the ring, tearing down the ring, going to the sponsor.
Nice.
Showing up early, leaving late. So I think I'm one of the more dedicated ones. I'm not saying that there's not dedicated, but...
Well, it's a lot different than James's regimen, because his regimen includes 6 cheat meals a week.
7, buddy. 7.
Matt, we're going to get to your show that's happening this weekend in Cloverdale. It's a very important match. But before we move on, I want to ask you, and this is something I asked the Bollywood boys early on when I had a chance to interview them, and that is, what is the ultimate goal? And when you answer that question, I want you to think about, 10 years down the road, I want to be able to play this for everyone. And I want this to be your chance to say, this is where I want to end up. And I really find that I think you're going to go far. And I want to prove it to the world right here, right now. I want to know, what is your ultimate goal here in professional wrestling?
My ultimate goal is obviously make it to the WWE,
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a goal. They say, I just want to make it to the WWE and say I've wrestled there, or, TNA, or ROH or just traveling internationally and making a living, but my goal, my realistic goal is to make it to the WWE, become someone and advance in winning championships and just, you know, being the next CM Punk, John Cena. That's my main goal.
If you had a weakness right now, what do you think that is?
My weakness would be my size.
But I think you're doing everything right.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get bigger and, you know, fill the spot, as they would say.
Listen, Matt, there's a reason why I'm asking you all these questions, and that's because I firmly believe, and I think many others agree with me when I say that you are going places and you are doing everything correctly. And the whole point of bringing you here tonight and talking with you is to let the world know that you are doing everything right. And I think you are going to go far. So I have to absolutely applaud you. And James, I think you definitely agree with me here. You are doing what you're supposed to do, and it's very interesting to watch you progress. And
you're making all the right steps.
I'm a huge fan of you, Matt. I got to admit that.
So thank you. I truly appreciate it. You know, that's also the motivation, is everybody's, you know, so proud of me. So it's kind of like, let's just try to push that and make everybody proud. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. You're taking that bar and you're raising it. Okay, listen. Let's move on. We got lots to talk about in terms of this weekend, specifically ASW
yes.
Cloverdale. Now, we're marketing the show here as the return of Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Return of the Bulldog, yeah. That's right.
Return of the Bulldog, that is the name of this. Now, before I get specific with you, let me just talk to everyone here about what we're talking about. It's the Return of the Bulldog. It's Friday, April 26th. It's happening at 7:30 p.m. at the Cloverdale Fairgrounds. We all know it as the Alice McKay Building. Now, we're billing it as the return of Davey Boy Smith, but James and I, and this is just between James and I, we're most looking forward to your last match here in Vancouver, and that's against Richie Destiny. Now, what's worth mentioning here about this match is that this is the second time you guys have squared off. Most notably, your first ever match was with Richie Destiny, a couple years ago, is that right?
Oh, yeah, I think it was, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
So this is the second time you guys have squared off. How are you feeling heading into this match with Richie Destiny? Richie Destiny is on a bit of a roll lately, so how are you feeling about heading into this one?
You know what? Richie Destiny really is on a roll with the regime of booking rejects. The reason why he's in the booking rejects is because he is overconfident that he can, you know, as he says, can beat me in Cloverdale, when I clearly have the advantage. You know, there are opportunities I took and took advantage of to further my career while he was in the booking rejects.
Interesting. Are you? Is this like a very heated rivalry right now, or are you guys
Seems
still?
Kind of personal.
Are you friends, or are you guys personal enemies? I'm trying to figure this out here.
I think it really is a heated rivalry because it's been 2 years in the making, you know. It was my very first match, and I embarrassed him in front of his friends and family.
That's true. Now, one strength that Richie Destiny has is his ability on the mic. The guy can talk, and the guy can sing, clearly, as we've seen before in the past as well. Is there a chance that we see you and Richie Destiny square off on the mic before the match actually happens?
I want to see a sing-off.
Oh, my.
A sing-off. I guess I have to be singing Justin Bieber.
That's asking a lot there, James.
Hey, that's what I want to see. I want to see a sing-off.
Well, it's definitely, to me, this is the main event of the show on Friday. That's just my opinion. Let me ask you, Matt. We had mentioned that this is your last match in Vancouver. You are moving on, and you're moving away from Vancouver. Do you want to talk about that story a little bit?
Sure, yeah. You know, I had the opportunity to move to Edmonton, Alberta, to be more involved with the CNWA, based out of Red Deer, Alberta, and I took the opportunity as soon as it came up to me. So
what's the plan here? You're gonna have your last match in Vancouver, and how soon are you actually moving to Edmonton?
I move on April 30th.
And it is Edmonton that you're moving to, right? So you're going to be part of Monster Pro Wrestling. Is that what I'm going to be assuming here?
Yeah, Monster Pro Wrestling, Pure Power Wrestling, There's a new affiliate we have that's in Newfoundland, Newfoundland Pro Wrestling, and then you know, there's also All Star Wrestling and Big West Wrestling, also affiliations with CNWA.
Interesting. Now, let me ask you this. A lot of people think when they're growing up and they're going to get into the wrestling business, you know, if you're Canadian, you would think the best place here to go is Calgary. But you're going to Edmonton. Close, but not quite there. What was your decision-making behind that? Is there someone specifically you're going to be... is someone going to be showing you the ropes in Edmonton? Or is this just a personal decision, you want to go to Edmonton and not Calgary?
I think I'm taking advantage of going to Edmonton because, you know, I trained under Michelle Starr and Dusko Fury, and there's just, you know, the opportunities to go to Edmonton and hopefully train under Massive Damage and,
Interesting.
Yeah, and Vance Nevada as well, so.
If there's one guy that could help your size, Matt, it's got to be Massive Damage, I would think.
Yeah, he's
Let's talk about the CNWA Wrestling Alliance. We've spoken about it many times. We've talked with Vance Nevada in the past about it. It's a great idea, the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance. How has that worked to your advantage? Are you such a fan of what they're doing?
Oh, I'm a huge fan. Like, not only being a part of it, but being part of the experience. You know, it's been skyrocketing since it's ever started.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the fan base has just been growing and growing. You know, we almost have 50,000 views in the past week.
Wow. Great idea.
That is. It's a fantastic idea.
Great idea. Growing in popularity. And if you can get Matt ecstatic on most of those tours there, that's even better. What I can see happening with the CNWA, actually, is a touring group of guys that are committed to the CNWA, and they go from promotion to promotion.
It's just good business to have a conglomeration of national promotions like that all across the board.
All right, listen, Matt, we're going to let you go here. I really appreciate you coming on the show. James appreciates it as well.
Absolutely,
I'm sure.
Buddy. Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we let you go?
The only thing I'd really like to mention, you know, this Friday, April 26th in Cloverdale, you know, you got your main event, Davey Boy Smith Jr., the son of the British Bulldog, against Loose Cannon Kenny Lush.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big match you don't want to miss. And then you got the stretcher match featuring Disco Fury versus Ravenous Randy Myers. Now, that was heated since Disco Fury tried to break Ravenous Randy Myers' leg.
Wow. You know? Interesting.
And then you got the CNWA Women's title on the line, Bambi Hall, who was nominated for Future Legend and just completed the Tony Canella tour versus the former ECCW Women's Champion Casey Spinelli.
That's going to be a good match.
Yeah. And then you got, you know, Gorgeous Michelle Starr against Nasty Nate Daniels in a grudge match. You know, they both swapped each other, but I think this is going to be the one big one.
I got to ask you here, Matt. Does Nasty Nate Daniels actually want to be called Junior? Or, like, what's the deal with this? What's the story behind Nasty Nate Daniels having to possibly be called Junior forever if he loses this match?
And what are the chances we'll see a double slopping?
Is that true, though? Could that actually happen here?
You know, I have a chance to wrestle Nasty Nate Daniels in Maple Ridge, and, you know, the name Junior just stuck with him. So I got the fans' chance, Junior. It's stuck. Unless he proves to himself and everybody else that he is Nasty Nate Daniels.
Interesting.
It's got like a Tensai Albert thing going almost.
I'm trying to figure out what's a better match stipulation here. The steel cage match with Brock Lesnar, Triple H, or Nasty Nate Daniels having to possibly be called Junior. Yeah, very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, listen, man, thanks a lot for coming on the show. I got to say, we're definitely going to come and check you out here this Friday, and we invite everyone else to do the same. It should be a great last match for you here in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's, you know, I encourage everybody to come out. You know, it is my final match here before I move. So it'd be great for the, you know, all the support to come down and, you know, really interact with all of us in indie wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, Matt. Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
You too. Take care, and I appreciate being on the show.
Hey, we appreciate it. Yeah. We appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Likewise. There you go, James. Matt ecstatic.
Beautiful. He basically just ran down the whole ASW card for us.
We don't even have to do it now.
Yeah. I like that when guests come on our show and do our work for us.
The one thing I really want to say here is that this guy is growing in popularity, yes.
and he's just got the right head. He's the mental space of this guy is correct. He's hanging out with the right people.
Yeah.
He's doing the right things, and he's working hard.
And most importantly, he's a sieve. He's sucking up all the knowledge that he can. He's doing all the right moves, and I'm telling you, Matt Ecstatic is a guy to have on your radar for the future moving forward.
How can you not be looking at this guy? He's so young that you have to at least take a glance. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And just by hanging out with Michelle Starr, for example, and Disco Fury, he's getting to meet these guys where he just gets a handshake with them. I mean, the fact that he gets to shake Jim Ross's hand, and Jim Ross gets to look at him in the eyes and be like, okay, this guy, I've seen this guy.
I've got your face now.
Five years from now, I possibly will remember him again. Yeah. That is 30 times more than what someone who hasn't shaken Jim Ross's hand has. Do you know what I mean?
I get you.
You have to create these opportunities for yourself in this business in order for you to capitalize on them.
Yeah.
And Matt Ecstatic is creating the opportunities.
You have to help yourself.
He's creating the opportunities, and he's going to capitalize on them because he's doing everything right. I'm very interested in this move that he has to Edmonton.
It's a definite life gamble, that's for sure.
Don't you think?
While he's taking pro wrestling extremely seriously, he wants to do it as a career, just like he said. He wants to make it to the WWE or make it to TNA. You know,
and there's a trade-off. There's a trade-off because you are sacrificing a lot personally. You know, off the air, we asked Matt, are you going to be okay for work? And he's going to say, and his response was, I'm going to have to figure that out when
I
get there.
It's a gamble. It's a definite gamble, that's for sure. But you know what? I got to give the guy all the credit in the world for putting his nuts out there and taking the gamble, because it's more than I would do, that's for sure.
And what's the worst that happens here? He doesn't make it? He still has so much life experience.
He gains that experience.
He'll come home with 100 more friends. He'll come home with 100 more friends. He'll come home with 100 more life experiences. And he just understands the business that much better than someone who hasn't done this.
Absolutely. Okay, so enough about Matt Ecstatic. Again, going back to that ASW event, it's Return of the Bulldog happening this Friday, April 26th at 7:30 p.m. That's at the Cloverdale Fairgrounds, the Alice McKay Building. And if you want that address, it's 6050A 176th Street in Surrey. Matt Ecstatic's last match against Richie Destiny.
Let's not forget about Davey Boy Smith Jr. returning to face Kenny Lush. I mean, that's a huge match. Two very big men getting in the ring together.
Hey, last time he was in town, I did my first and last interview for Smack Talk Radio Live.
What do you mean? You were part of this interview tonight with Matt Ecstatic?
Ah, but come on, I wasn't really. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Don't sell yourself short, my friend. Okay, let's move on to Saturday.
Yes,
here.
Saturday.
April 27th, 2013, of course, and that's happening in Vancouver. Now, what's happening in Vancouver? We're talking ECCW. And for more information here, ECCW.com, and they have a show coming up. It's going to be big.
I mean, Red is War.
Red is War. Play off the Raw is War. If you've seen the poster here, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, go to their website. It's actually quite a neat-looking poster.
Now, it's happening at the Russian Community Center, and it's happening at 7:30 on Saturday night, the night after ASW. So if you're in for a wrestling weekend here, you got ASW Friday night, ECCW Saturday night.
And just quickly, that address for the Russian Community Center is 2114 West 4th Avenue in Vancouver. So it's a little bit of a drive into downtown Vancouver, but I'm telling you, it's a great venue. It's a great product. It's definitely worth it. What do we got on the card?
Well, what if you live downtown? Then it's closer than anything else for you.
Well. Okay, thanks.
All right.
Thank you for logicking me down.
Big matches here, though. Yes. We got The Riot, Ravenous Randy Myers, and Andy the Dreadful Bird taking on the Stallions, which consist of Artemis Spencer and Tony Baroni. We also have the six-man tag, which is the Administration versus the Loose Cannon, Kenny Lush, two nights in a row. And the Bollywood Boys are teaming up with Kenny Lush, Gervin Harfsira.
Taking on the Administration.
That's worth the price of admission in itself. We got El Fantasmo taking on Nicole Matthews.
Mixed
that's
intergender match.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And Bishop versus Sid Salem in a rematch. And Ethan HD versus the Dream, Seeing the Dream.
Your absolute favorite, buddy.
What time does that match start? I'll make sure to time my arrival appropriately.
Now, Corey, I could ask you. Obviously, being on radio, you can't see that look that he just gave you. But I got to ask you, buddy, what is a 99 Red Balloons match?
Yes, you're talking about the Riot.
The main event. The Riot versus.
I'm thinking 99 Red Balloons are in the ring. I don't know for sure. This is interesting.
So, what do you have to do? Be the one to pop more balloons than the other team, or?
It could just be a fun little spot where you throw the guy off the top turnbuckle and lands on a bunch of balloons.
What about like a power bomb onto a bunch of balloons or something?
Could happen. I hope they don't sell it like it hurts. That could happen.
Make regardless. So much.
Regardless. All right. Well, a lot going on this weekend.
That's
locally.
Right. Two big events happening in the.
Feels good to talk about.
It does. It does. Doesn't? It's finally. It's. You can tell the WrestleMania season's over. That's all I'm going to say.
Because local wrestling matters again?
That's right.
It's always mattered. We just got to pick our moments.
You're right. It has
as
always
to when
mattered.
We talk
I'm
about
just
it.
Joking around, of yeah. course. But.
All right. The local wrestling scene. That'll wrap it up for another week.
Well, I think that was another action-packed episode of Smack Talk Radio Live. How about you?
Not bad for two guys who can barely hang on to their voices. Nope. You and I both sick.
Oh, it's been terrible. But you know what? We don't let that stop us. We hit the studios. Pounded out a full show for everyone this week.
Well, it depends, actually. If I was getting paid for a sick day, I might have called in sick today.
But we've established firmly here that we don't get paid at Smack Talk
no,
Radio
we
Live.
Lose money. So really, it's even worse. We do a show when we're sick and not get paid for it. Makes no sense.
Makes
Must
sense.
Be the love of the business.
It's the love of the people who listen to the show and all the positive feedback that we've been getting from our email, which is on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. I plug it at the end of every show. Tell us what you think about Monday Night Raw. Tell us what you think about the whole state of the professional wrestling industry in general. Again, that email, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Send us an email. We'll read it on the air, and you could win some impressive Smack Talk Radio Live swag.
Interesting. You don't even own any swag, do you?
I have a whole closet full of Smack Talk Radio Live swag, and I'm just waiting to give away to people who send emails to onair at smacktalkradiolive.com.
Maybe the listeners want radio show worn swag. They want the shirt right off James McDonald's back.
What about a used Smack Talk Radio Live Ginch?
Oh my god. You are unbelievable.
No? People don't want that?
No.
Okay.
www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And hey, we're on Twitter at SRL Radio.
What's that address?
At SRL Radio. And even though you may have liked the page or maybe you're following us on Twitter, do us a favor. Send a friend. Help us out. Let's grow this wrestling community. Let's get people talking about Monday Night Raw, the Pacific Northwest wrestling scene. Let's do everything we can to really increase this great thing we have going. Because you can only listen to James and I for so long before you get fed up and realize that these two guys, Starsky and Hutch, they're a bunch of idiots.
Hey, this is all for you, man. This is a forum for you guys, by the fans, for the fans. And no, I don't think Starsky and Hutch are idiots. I don't know where I'm going with that. Okay.
All right.
It's been another week, and we're tired, so.
Let's get out of here. All right. We'll be back next week. Monday Night Raw should be a heck of a lot better.
We hope.
We're continuing the build to Extreme Rules. Thanks to Matt Ecstatic from ASW, and good luck this weekend against Richie Destiny. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I'm James McDonald.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Good times, bro.